Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 218 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you my interview with Tuffy Stone. This one is a really good one, and I've been waiting a couple of years, we've been going back and forth to get this going. So the timing worked. Sadly, it was during COVID times. This was recorded a few weeks ago. One thing I do want to note is that a lot of the things that we talk about, a lot of the accolades or different achievements that he's had throughout his career, I've pulled those from him. He's an extremely humble guy. He loves storytelling. He's a great storyteller, without a doubt, but he doesn't like to talk about himself. I prod him a number of times to get information because he has had an amazing career. He's had 6 world championships at Memphis in May. He won the Jack 3 times, the American Royal and the Open, and countless other competitions, as well as being on TV, Barbecue Pitmasters, a number of other shows. But he doesn't like to talk about that kind of stuff, and that, I respect that so much. I think that he wants his work to show for itself, and he is one of the hardest working guys in the business. His journey is a very interesting one. It didn't start off in barbecue. Born and raised in Virginia, still lives in Virginia. He was working at a French restaurant, La Maisonette. He worked his way up to sous chef, then became a partner, and that gave him the restaurant bug. That was where he got the restaurant bug, but he wanted to do something that was different than that restaurant world. He had started in 1993 a catering company called The Sharper Palette, 27 years ago, with his wife, extremely successful, 50 full-time employees, 100 part-time employees, but he wanted to do something to fill that inner cooking desire, that barbecue desire. So he just got a pit, started cooking, entered a competition. He talks about that first competition, talks about his first cooks and how he went into the barbecue deep end and never came out. Currently, he doesn't have Q Barbecue anymore. He has a new spot called the Westover in Richmond, Virginia. It used to be a hardware store. They've retooled it. It was going to be more of a sit-down restaurant, but because of COVID, it's now more of a market and neighborhood bodega with maybe some sit-down dining. They're going to have beer and wine to go, home meal replacements. Today's July 29th. Is opening today. If you're in Richmond or in the area, please check it out. He teaches classes. Teaching is a big thing for him. He really loves. He was teaching prior to barbecue, prior to everything. He just loves teaching. He teaches all over the world. Danny Gordon, who has Flat Point Barbecue here in Los Angeles, when I interviewed him, he talked about going to one of Tuffy's classes and how amazing it was. But in the end, I'm blabbering on. I can't thank Tuffy enough for sitting down, taking the time, giving well thought out answers. And we do have a part 2 coming up. We're going to do this at the tail end of whatever this COVID is on the other end, to kind of talk about what's transpired and how it's gone and how things are. So there will be a part 2. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's at treatyoakdistilling.com, or you can check out their location in Dripping Springs. They have 26 acres. They have a restaurant, Alice's Restaurant, which is barbecue and live fire. They have all their bourbon, all their gin, all their rum on location, as well as mixed drinks. They have some mixed drinks to go now, prepackaged, as well as beer and wine on location. They used to have distillery tours. They don't anymore because they're making hand sanitizer, but that's going to switch back over, so they'll have those. It's an idyllic spot with great, great people. Check them out again at treatyoakdistilling.com. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all the podcast stuff, all the YouTube stuff, stories, breaking news, newsworthy stuff, list things that I, things that are going through my head. I'm on all social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're just listening to this on a podcast, I have a YouTube show at youtube.com/Kevin's BBQ Joints. Subscribe to that if you want. I'm doing 2 to 3 of these per week. I don't want you to miss out. But at the end, stay safe. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy this. Well, good morning, Tuffy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well. First off, I want to talk a little bit about your history and about what's going, then jump to what's going on right now. But how are you doing COVID-wise, and how are things for your family?
It's been tough. I've got a catering company with my wife that we started in 1993, and we've grown that company to probably be one of the most well-respected catering companies in our community, probably one of the largest. And I've had people for 20 years, and we've just been crushed. We lost all March, April, May, June sales.
Ugh.
July and August are quickly going away, and it looks like the fall events are quickly going away. So that's been a tough pill to swallow. You know, I had this, now it seems a little bit naive, but I had this belief as I went the path of becoming a chef and a cook and learning that trade, that it would always put a roof over my head. You know, I kind of looked at it like being a plumber or electrician or a carpenter, And I would have never imagined that a pandemic would come in and just kind of crush our industry like it has. But it's been a tough go of that.
Well, that's interesting, Tuffy, because a lot of people, when they think about how this has affected the restaurant business, they probably haven't thought about the catering side too, which has been decimated in the weddings, like all the events and stuff, the event planning.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, I'm sitting here in our newest spot called the Westover.
Yeah.
And we've been shut down here since March. So we're feeling it, you know, we're feeling it in all ways.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a bad dream that you can't wake up and get out of. But
sometimes you forget that we're in this.
You know, it's kind of bizarre to me, you know, talking about masks and how different individuals perceive COVID-19, how they react to it. You know, I've got in this restaurant, you know, we got people that come in here occasionally, and some people are very careful, and some people are like, you know, if I get it, I get it, you know. And it's but in my industry, well, it's twofold. I mean, right now we're really not feeding anybody, but as we're gearing up trying to figure out how to, we've got to our customers and potential customers need to know without a doubt that we're going to be safe and not get you sick. And so that's our responsibility as food service mm-hmm. providers. And then there's just my own individual take on it that's not professional. And that's, I have got an obligation to my mother-in-law to stay safe. And so I take I'm on the side of the fence that's like being careful, like mm-hmm. you, and wear a mask. But I see every day different takes on this. And
you're on probably the same social media feeds that I have, and we see how there's some people that it's not even there. Like there's no mask, they're hugging, they're taking photos. And then there's the people that are overly cautious, and there's little battles. It's definitely interesting to see the mindset of people. And my mom's 75 years old, and I moved in to help her with a bunch of surgeries. So I'm keeping her extra safe, because a trip to the hospital is not a trip that I want her to have, and especially during this. And that's
right.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think about, is for the other people. You're trying to protect other people, not yourself.
That's what you, absolutely. And anyways, but there's a lot of different,
we could go down that road for another hour.
So, you know, where we're at, the Westover,
it's a coffee shop.
You know, it started off as a coffee shop, and then it grew into a breakfast and a lunch spot.
Okay.
And it's a cool space. You know, the ceilings are about 17 feet high. It used to be an old hardware store.
Oh yeah.
It's in a underserved market. It's right down the street from where I live. I can walk here. Me and my partner, Josh, who've been together a very long time, came in here with the vision of what it can be versus what it has been. What we've done is we're putting in shelving, and we're going to make it like a market neighborhood bodega that also happens to have some sit-down dining. We don't know if we need a bar anymore. So what is it? Are we a growler refilling station? We're not sure. We're going to have a lot of beer and wine to go. We're going to do home replacement. One of the things that I have, not only personally but in my own household, but what I'm seeing in the people that I talk to, and we've had more home cooked meals happen in the last couple 3 months than we probably had going on for decades.
I agree.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Oh yeah.
But also what I think's happening too is like everybody wants to be able to like have an easy go of it for dinner occasionally.
No, I know.
And so we want to fill that niche too. You know, I never really thought that we would have to try and reinvent ourselves as cooks and chefs and servers and restaurateurs and caterers. But that's where we're at. So it's a little bit of a mind melt. You know, I've been making a living since the 80s feeding people. And so to think at this point, we got to like change up. Sometimes it gets a little taxing trying to figure out, but you know, it doesn't matter whether it's taxing or not. We got to plow through this. So
yeah. You might have had a vision of as to what it was going to be, but if you want to survive, you have to change.
That's right. So, you know, as I said to my son the other day, you know, quitting's not an option. So we're plugging through with this, and we hope that the Westover will be reopened here in the next couple 3 weeks.
Okay.
Sharper palate's a little bit more interesting. We tried home meal replacement and delivered food, and it was costing us more in labor than we were taking in sales. So we kind of tabled that. We did get PPP money, and that's kind of come to the end there. So right now, we're just trying to figure out, we're 27 years in business as a sharper palate. And so we do believe that caterers will have a that will be needed at some point. As to when and what that's going to look like, we're not quite sure, but we're working hard to try and get through that. You mentioned Q a minute ago. I sold Q about a year and a half ago.
That's what I thought. I was going to ask you what your involvement was still.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, a lot of people still think that I'm there and I'm not.
So you can only fight it if you search.
No, I mean, if you do a Google search, my name comes up, you know, pretty much immediate for Q Barbecue because I started it. But whether or not I'll ever do a strictly barbecue joint again, I think if I would have been talking to you 4 months ago, I'd say without a doubt it makes sense. And what will my barbecue place look like? Having been down the road a bit in the world of barbecue, I think it'll be a lot different than Q in some respects. And in some respects, it'll be similar. I mean, Q's always been clean. It's always had good service. It's always been a good value. But probably, you know, one of the things that I did not realize when I started Q back in 2008, because I wanted Q to be a fresh take on a barbecue place. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't understand, and you'll relate to this, but what I didn't understand is how special a barbecue joint, just a dusty old laid back barbecue joint, how satisfying that is for the patrons that come in. So I won't be quite as slick and quite as clean.
That's smart. Yes, I know. I agree. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. So I suspect that will come to be, but right now it's just trying to hold on to what we got. And make people happy when we do get a chance to feed them.
Oh, that's the lady. You know what? Like, let's go back just for a little bit for people that might not know your history. How did you get into barbecue originally?
Started off in a French kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an apprenticeship while I was going to college. I always enjoyed cooking as a hobby. Anyways, long story short, I ended up doing an apprenticeship under Chef Alain Vincey, place called La Maisonette. And I worked so hard for this guy. Initially, I had to get in the door and work for free. But I worked so hard for him that I worked my way up to sous chef. And he made me a partner in his business. And that took me out of a political science degree at VCU.
Oh, wow.
And put me into being a professional chef. My wife and I met. And eventually, we opened up a catering company called A Sharper Palate back in 93. And we grew that company to a point where we eventually had 50 full-time employees and about 100 part-time employees. And wow. Kevin, as a chef, I wasn't cooking anymore. I was just managing the team and managing the company.
Makes sense.
But my passion was cooking, and my passion was to be a chef. And I felt this disconnect because of how my job had changed and my responsibilities had changed. And I felt this need to come up with a new culinary endeavor that would reconnect me as a cook. And for whatever reason, and it was a food I'd never done, is I wanted to learn how to make barbecue. I wanted to learn how to take a modest cut of meat, like a pork butt or a brisket, and build an all-wood burning fire and make a rub and try and coax something great out of these tougher cuts of meat. So I did. I bought a pit. I got some hickory. I made a rub. I got some pork butts. I seasoned these pork butts. I built a fire, and I ruined a big old load of meat.
Of course. sounds like deja vu.
and it was so humbling to me because I was so surprised. And, you know, I could make all these hard-to-pronounce foods, all these expensive foods. I could make sushi, and I could do chocolates and, you know, whatever. And I always say barbecue is like the friendliest food. It's the most gregarious cuisine. It's a food that's history is about large gatherings of people, family reunions.
And historically, it's been that way too.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the way it's always been. And I fell in love with this process. I fell in love with trying to make something delicious out of a pork shoulder or a brisket. And, you know, anyways.
And you were in Virginia the whole time.
I'm right here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm born and raised. I fell in love with this process. I like to say I went off the barbecue deep end. And I started cooking all the time. I've always been this type of individual that's like trying to feed my brain and meet people and talk to people that can help me do whatever it is I'm doing at the time better. During this process, I found out about competition barbecue. I signed up for my first contest with this idea that it's just going to be a learning experience. You know, I've learned more about cooking barbecue. I didn't really I didn't really think of myself as a competitive person. And, you know, I just looked at it as a place to go learn. And so we did. My team name became Cool Smoke. And that name came to be from a couple of ideas that I had. One was I'm cooking at a lower temperature, so a cooler temperature. And the other idea was my catering company was so involved and so particular and so, such perfectionist that it was a high level of stress all the time. And so I wanted this barbecue program to be more relaxed, more chill, cool. Yeah. And of course, anybody that really knows me knows that I'm anything but relaxed when I cook barbecue. But anyways, I did a contest, my first one, and I was up all night. I used to cook at a little bit lower temperature back then, so I had to put my meat on sooner. And I was up that night with all the stick burners. And for the listeners that don't know what a stick burner is usually an offset or something that you're actually burning logs of wood to fuel your fire and to cook your meat. So stick burners don't get so much sleep. We get more than we once did because we're running our fires a little hotter, but it's not a set it and forget it type of cooker. It's not like you turn it to 300 and go to bed
and have your phone let you know that it's almost ready.
That's right. Beep beep beep, time to put another log on. I was up with these stick burners and talking and meeting people for the first time, and they kept looking over at this one rig, and it was all dark, and they said, man, he hadn't even lit his fire yet. And I go, who hadn't lit their fire yet? They go, Johnny hadn't lit his fire yet. I go, Johnny who? They go, Johnny Trigg. I go, who's Johnny Trigg? I didn't know, and of course, he won that contest that day and took all that Virginia money back home to Texas. But I got two calls that day. I got a second place, I think, in pork and a seventh place in brisket.
Oh, that's
got
to feel good.
And met all these amazing people. Johnny Trigg wasn't nearly as friendly back then as he became over the years. Once I learned about Johnny Trigg, of course, me being the curious person that I am, I had to go over there as soon as he woke up and introduce myself. And that's when I saw my first Jambo pit.
Okay.
And I ended up getting a Jambo. But anyways, to kind of get to the crux of, I think, what you want your listeners and viewers to know a little bit more about. So everybody, I fell off the barbecue deep end. I fell in love with barbecue. I met competition barbecue. I started getting pretty good at that. And so fast forward to today, we've had an amazing run. I published a cookbook in May of 2018 called Cool Smoke, The Art of Great Barbecue.
Well, did Ken Goodman shoot that?
Ken did the pictures, and Libby Summers set all the, all the plates and all. She's just amazing. Ken's amazing. I've known Ken for a really long time.
He's such a nice guy.
It's really sweetheart. But anyways, I started Q Barbecue back in 2008, which we were just talking about, and sold that about a year and a half ago. I teach all over the world how to cook barbecue now. So that's just a little snippets of some of
there's a lot to there was a lot to unpack, which we could do on another episode, but the main thing is I wanted to check in, but I also wanted to give that backstory. But it's interesting now, the competition side, the Jack just postponed
Memphis and May just canceled for the second time this year.
That's true, yeah.
You know, the Royal hadn't made any changes yet, so it'd be interesting to see whether the Royal is going to make it or not.
Are you going to be at the next big event? Are you going to be at it?
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Well, it's a little weird. You know, it's, I'm sure, my father passed in March.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Dad was the night fire guy. And, so I haven't lit a pit. I've lit grills, but I haven't lit a pit since he passed.
I can imagine.
So the idea of going and doing a competition without my dad, George, seems a little weird, but my wife seems to think that he'd be really happy when I do, if I do, so.
And actually, I think he would want you to, because especially with what's going on.
That's what Leslie says.
And he'll be there. My dad passed 10 years ago. It'll be 11 years in October, and I see him places. He's
sorry.
There. Hey.
You know, this was my first Father's Day without my dad, the first one's kind of weird, huh?
It is, yeah. No, I had a couple people send me photos of their dads because they knew that I had lost my dad, and so it's a weird club to be part of, but it's offsetting, and yeah, you don't, until you have, you're missing your father, you don't know, you don't, you don't, you won't get it. And again, my condolences. I thought it was a last year, but I guess this year has kind of pushed. I can't time.
Yeah, it's all like what is today? Today Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday, right?
Let's say your father hadn't passed. How do you get the excitement? Is it that thrilling? I haven't been to any of the major competitions. How do you like? Is each one new and it's exciting to see a bunch of old friends? And then the competition side, do you eventually lose that fire or no?
We've just been so blessed and amazingly fortunate on the circuit that honestly speaking, there's nothing. There's nothing left to do. I mean, I think for me, some people, they can go on and on and on and on. From my heart right now is teaching people how to cook better barbecue in their backyard and how to be comfortable at a grill and in a pit and how to make ribs delicious and how to make foods as a whole. And so, not so much concentrated on trying to win a trophy. That said, I'm really fortunate. I get to work with a few brands and so some of these events are a good setting for me to go and be an ambassador to barbecue and to meet people and to talk to people. So there's a layer of getting out there and being in an event like that, and then there's the support of these amazing events that I've been so fortunate at to support these events. So I can't imagine at this point. I mean, again, the whole dad being gone part has got me really conflicted, but the American Royal and Memphis in May and the Jack and Houston Livestock Rodeo Show and some of these events have been so kind to me, and I feel it's a bit of my, I should support them and support these events. And, because of, whether it be barbecue pit masters or different things that I've had the good fortune of doing in my life, I've become familiar to a lot of people in the that are interested in barbecue. And so for me, it's like going out there and being a good ambassador to what we love to do with barbecue. And so these places, these events, I'm not so really, honestly speaking, Kevin, if you come to one of these events now, you're going to see me out there talking to people and shaking hands and answering questions, and really the competition becomes secondary or lower down on the.
I can see that definitely. No, I wanted to wrap it up with not wrap it up right this second, but with the different sponsors and the different partnerships, because I know that you're still with Yeti, right?
I'm with Yeti. I'm still with, and I'm with Tyson Fresh Meats and. I get to do some things with Weber here and there, and I get to Snake River Farms has been a product that's been near and dear to my heart for a long time. So I've been really fortunate to work with some great people and some great products and some great organizations. I've recently made the move to Tyson Fresh Meats and really, really, I mean, especially COVID-19 has been impactful not only on my businesses that I was telling you about, but pork producers and beef producers and watching this amazing company and how they've handled these challenges has been really remarkable and inspiring to me. And then Yeti, I think I'm in my sixth year with Yeti, another great organization of just amazing people.
And it's the people, isn't it?
It's the people. It's like, honestly speaking, I've always just worked hard at my own companies and taking care of my own customers. So the idea of partnering or working with another organization, I think everybody should take your time and make sure, all right, is this a good partnership? Can I do something and be impactful for you? Can you represent yourself in a way that continues on the hard work of how I've tried to present myself with my endeavors in life. So for me, it's like I've always supported my companies on my own shoulders with my own hard work. And through some of the things that I've been able to accomplish in cooking and barbecue and some conversations started up, for me, it's like, all right, like you. I mean, you think about the people that you interview and how many years you've been doing this? You've been doing this, what, 8 years?
8 years? 8 or 9 years.
I mean, as you decide the conversations that you want to have. And there's so many great conversations with so many great people to have. Mm-hmm. But like you with your work and this project, you only got so much time.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to kind of like prioritize and plot and plan. Well, for me, and I think there's a comparable here, you know, I guess I don't want to connect my hard work and what I've done with in the wrong place.
I agree completely.
And the people that I work with, I think they feel the exact same way. Anyways, I feel really blessed. I know I'm blessed. There's no, I'm really blessed to work with a few companies where the people are amazing. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, I think it comes down to people working hard to do a job well done, to make good things. I mean, you make good interviews and I try to make good food.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to. I just want to share the world that I love so much. Like, I love the barbecue world. I got like 8-9 years ago, I got deep in just like you did in 93 or prior to that. And so the hooks are deep, deep inside of me. And so a lot of people that are outside the barbecue world don't quite get it. And so I'm trying to slowly, like, I'll send interviews to friends who aren't as fanatical about barbecue as we are. And I think they're starting to understand because there's great souls in these people and they're interesting stories. And most people didn't come from a barbecue background. There are those families, but like you and I, like we didn't, I'm from California, from Los Angeles.
But, well, yeah, so you're not even allowed to light fires.
I'm not.
You're in a challenge. I mean, fires are no joke where you come from. And so I think there's this communal love of sitting around a grill, watching a big old hunk of meat, you know, sizzle away and smoke come out of that exhaust. And it can be as simple as a little kettle or a gas grill or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be a shoulder. It doesn't have to be something that takes hours and hours to cook. It could be as simple as some burgers sizzling or some pork chops grilled. And there's this deep fascination. I would suspect it, with everything that's going on with COVID-19 right now, that people are really going to your channel and watching a lot.
Yeah,
right,
my views are way up. But my friend who has a company, like a YouTube company for kids, he's like, your numbers are up. I said, yeah, well, I think people just, they're trapped.
Yeah, you know, we're trapped. I mean, right now, there's so many Google searches happening for how to cook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, look at the whole thing with bread.
The sourdough. I was going to say, there's that whole thing. And people growing vegetables. Yeah, it's been wild. I wanted to also get, because you're one of the few people that I could ask this question. Like, what, back when you first started and there was, like, you met Johnny Trigg for the first time and there's the Myers, did you ever imagine that it would be, barbecue would be what it is today?
Oh no, man.
I didn't either.
I mean, I just bought a grill, you know, just to learn how to make barbecue, to reconnect as a cook. This whole world, I mean, did you think that you would have a show? Did you think that I mean, how many interviews have you done?
200. 206 or something like that, yeah.
206. I mean, so that's a lot of conversations with a lot of different people from all over the world, I'm going
to
guess.
Yeah, no, I even talked to Holy Smoke. People.
Johan.
It's early in the morning for me, or late. I don't know. I don't sleep much anymore.
Johan's amazing. And, you know, I think I've been able to travel literally all over the world for barbecue. I mean, I taught a class in Brazil last year, and we had to have an interpreter there because I don't speak Portuguese. So, but there's this common thread, and Johan's right there, you know, just a glowing example of this common thread, this big population of people that love this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're feeding people. We're feeding people something that in a lot of cases can take, you know, hours and hours hours to make, and you got to really watch it. And if you hit all those marks, even if you don't hit those marks, even if it's not great barbecue, the effort's still there and the passion's still there, and that feeling that you get of sharing that with other people to eat, it's just such a, it breaks through the borders. It's like, it doesn't matter where you're from. And so, but you know, going back to your real point, I mean, American style barbecue is popular all over Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, Mexico. I mean,
places in Asia. Yeah, there's some Asian.
Yeah. It's just super cool.
It just fascinates me because I had always, and I talked to a number of people, even like Daniel Vaughn, like talked to him about, is this the peak? Is this the peak? Is this the peak? And then it just keeps continuing to go. And then it's, you know, it's people like Robert Jacob Lerma. There's people that have, and like obviously Aaron Franklin, that have pushed it, and you pushed it to certain levels, and Barbecue Pitmasters, like you said, and all the different shows. But I still never realized it would be this. Texas barbecue, it's especially blown up.
You know, I think there's different places to look in terms of, is this the peak? But one place, I think, as we look at deciding is this the peak or not, is in our backyards.
True.
You know, we can look at it in terms of television. We can look at it in terms of competition. We can look at it in terms of restaurants. We can look at it in terms of, you know, so many different, you know, so many places to measure the popularity and the enthusiasm. But I think the backyard part of it will go on for a really, really long time. And I think, I mean, look, I'm talking to you right now on Skype. You're on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. We're about 2,700 miles apart. And we're talking live, real-time face. And no one's getting a letter in the mail anymore. It's a text. It's a tweet. It's a post. But when we just stop for a moment and light that grill, light that charcoal, get that fire going, we take a pause.
Yeah,
for a second,
it freezes time. It takes a step back. That's very poignant. That's true. That's exactly what it is.
So I don't see that stopping. Some of the other things that, you know, I mean, hell, I never would have thought that barbecue would make for television shows and a television series, but it did.
Yeah.
And it does, and it will again. But how long that lasts, I don't know.
But who knows what media or TV, you know, if we never thought there'd be a plague, so like this again. So, you know, 5 years from now, the way we consume media might be completely different. But like you said, taking the step back, cooking on your own or cooking for friends or events, that won't go away. That will never go away.
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking as we were talking, and we're so overdue to have this conversation. But I don't know what the other side looks like. And I don't know if the other side is completely being on the other side of COVID-19 or not. But I want to have a follow-up phone call with you, a follow-up Skype interview with you, if there is another side, because I want to talk about what it was like in the rest of this journey.
Okay.
And what we're doing at that time in terms of my profession and feeding people.
That's a great idea. Let's wrap this up so Cool Smoke is available on Amazon and every other thing that Amazon owns.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a signed book from me if you just go to tuffystone.com, but Amazon has it, Barnes & Noble has it, a lot of your brick and mortar bookstores have it.
Let's go direct to you. I'll shoot people direct to you.
It's real easy. Just put in there if you want a book, just tell me who to sign it to.
Cool.
And we'll do that, but just tuffystone.com.
And then your restaurant is now...
So the restaurant's in Richmond. That's thewestoverrva.com. And we hope to be reopened here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I hope we see festivals come back. I hope that we see culinary events that I get to do. See, a lot of the events I do aren't just competitions. You know, I'll go do Charleston Wine and Food.
Oh,
I'll do Firebox
amazing.
In St. Simon, Georgia. So these types of events I really love because I get to cook for you and I get to talk to you. So that's where I really get a lot of happiness.
Can people still get events like from the Sharper Palate? Can people?
Yeah, it is. So my catering company in Richmond, been around, like I said earlier, since 1993, is asharperpalate.com. We are still doing events, way less than we once were. We are doing temperature checks. Our team's wearing masks. We are doing everything that's needed to make sure that we don't make anybody sick. People are still going to get married. Receptions are still going to happen.
Yes, sir.
I hope that our corporate events come back. But we're working hard to make it really easy for our customers to get their food service needs taken care of and not having to worry about whether or not you're going to get sick.
So. Exactly. And then your classes will come back up when it's safe to have classes again, or you do?
You know, that's another thing. It's a little, like I was telling you earlier, and my real love right now is just, I've been teaching I've been teaching cooking since the 80s, way before I got into competition barbecue. I just like to teach and help people cook better. Our last class that we just taught for my competition class was at Mark Lambert's place.
Oh.
Great, great little facility there with Sweet Swan of Mine headquarters. And so we taught that class in February. I'm getting inquiries all the time about when we're teaching our next competition class. I don't know if it'll be a face-to-face class or whether it'll be a virtual class.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So we'll see. But right now, my bigger projects on my plate are getting my businesses through all this mess. And we'll look at teaching again once we've got these other projects squared away.
Well, thank you, Tuffy, so much. I'm glad we finally got this together.
Kevin, I think we went past your 20 minutes or so, but I get windy if you can't.
I do too, and I could have, I honestly could talk to you probably for another 2 hours, but we'll reconnect again, and I thank you for everything you've done for the industry over the years, and then I'd stick it, I hope things continue to roll and, get better.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to do a better job next time on lighting, although,
so will I.
I probably look better in the shade.
Same with me.
Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for all the stories and interviews that you have given to us all to meet people and to hear their points of view and
thank you.
Hear the answers to your questions. So thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, and I look forward to, when this is all over, to hanging out, getting some food.
All right, man. All right, same here.
Take care.